Welcome to the Gaming Console, the musical edition. We have a special guest today, the pride of Crystal Lake himself, the wisest man I know, Danny Wise. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Oh, thanks, Michael. You're too kind.
And always we have, my partner in crime, we have Josh Frentes. What's up, Josh?
Yo, what's up? Dude, that Crystal Lake one, man, takes me back. That was fucking a long time ago. That's funny.
That was some OG stuff.
Yeah. That's why I was surprised. Like, I almost started busting out laughing because it just took me back. But welcome to our recurring guest. You know what I mean? Like, Danny's back, and we're here to talk music. Mikey B?
Certainly. We kind of got it down into two categories, kind of like singles and songs that we enjoyed in 2020. And then our main category, and then the main event is albums. They came out in 2020 that really, you know, got us through the times. So does anybody want to start off with some singles or songs that got them through the 2020 year that really, you know, improved their spirits or just got them through whatever they had to get through during this time period?
I could go first.
Sure.
So I don't know how this is all going to work out, but okay. So I think like the biggest song of 2020 was Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, right? That song was just all over the place. I feel like it got, you know, a lot of TikTok stuff, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. But that technically came out in 2019. So I don't know, but they're saying it's like the biggest single of 2020 also, because the album came out this year, but the single came out last year. So I don't know how that works, but that song is probably one of like the biggest songs I feel that was around besides like whatever you hear on TikTok or you see on Instagram or whatever, but that's what I'm feeling for singles.
Danny Wise, what do you have to say?
That was definitely a big one. I know he's they're talking about him getting, you know, snubbed and things at the Grammys and stuff like that. So that's a whole different discussion. But I actually was for a single. I kind of got into. Never heard of her before, but Inara George, she did a song with Dave Grohl called Sex and Cars, and it's like super indie, like indie pop. It's like very chill, just kind of like, you know, working from home for, as we have all experienced for, you know, most of the year. It's just kind of nice to have on in the background. It's a very soothing song, so I enjoyed it. Was not expecting to enjoy it. I was just going through different songs one day, and it kind of popped out and stuck with me.
I felt the same way when I first listened to like Billie Eilish. I was like, I don't like this. And then I was like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's like, nope, not going to like it. And you're kinda, then like, you just keep hitting play. Don't know why.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to listen to this teeny bopper. And then I was like, all right, let me give the album a chance. And I listened to it and I actually really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But also too, another single that I, you know, Drake is good for singles, you know, and he had two, I think, this year that were pretty, pretty big too, which was... like Laugh Now, Cry Later, and what's the one with Future? High Off Life, I think it was called, or one of those that were pretty banging this year. So, Mikey B, what do you think for Song of the Year?
I have this, like, I'm tackling this category in kind of a different way than you guys are viewing it. I'm kind of maybe closer to Danny. I'm kind of tackling it like in a way of like discovering new music or like artists I might not be familiar with, versus like going to seek out like to find like the most popular song. So like two artists that I was not familiar with that had singles this year that got me into them and got, maybe say like, hey, when their full album comes out or when their full album comes out, I'll give it a go, is a band called GA20. Their song is called Sit Down Baby. They are a blues band, but they're a blues band in the sense that they play blues from like classic Chex records or more like R&B 50s style blues versus kind of the blues music you can see now, which is more like guitar based blues rock. So they have like a really interesting kind of like classic like 50s Chicago Chess records type sound that was very interesting that I like quite a bit. And then the other band is, they're from Canada, they're called Dirty Nil. They had a song called Doom Boy, and they're kind of a blender band to me. They kind of blend alternative rock and hard rock and like a little bit of grunge and a little bit of kind of more like heavy emo into a blender, and they kind of come up with their own little sound. So those are like two singles that kind of spotlighted bands that I was not familiar with. So that's how I kind of tackled that category.
So those are like some of this just songs that kind of helped you branch out.
Yes.
Gotcha. I guess I looked at it differently. I thought it was like the one song that like I played all the time and I couldn't get enough of.
But that's why I like, that's like, I think the best thing about music is like you could tackle these topics in like multiple ways and still have like, it still like be right in like your mind, you know what I mean? It's like, it's still like a good way of tackling it, just going by like, hey, what song I played most on like Spotify or Apple Music.
Well, Spotify told me that I played a Kanye song like 140 times.
Ooh, what was that one? Kanye
song? It was Follow God, of course. That song was banging. So,
did that come out in 2020?
I think it did, yeah. It dropped January, I think, or like the first quarter of the year, and you know, I'm a Kanye stan, so I listened to it like 100 times. So I had that going in rotation, so Spotify did a pretty cool job of telling me, you know, how much time I spend listening to him. So but yeah, I think it was like Spotify told me it was like Kanye, Lil Wayne, you know, a lot of rap influence, and like I talked about offline, it was just like one random Queen of the Stone Age song popped in there.
Well, what was the Queen of the Stone Age song?
I'd have to look. I don't remember the name of it. It's off of Songs of the Deaf, Songs for the Deaf, Songs for the Deaf. I don't remember what that one's called, but it's Songs for the Deaf. Either way, one of those.
Gotcha.
So I won't look into it. One second. Well, this happens live, so I got a notification from Zoom to tell me, do you love, you know, Zoom?
And it got us unlimited minutes for this call.
Yeah, wow. We're running out of time, so what's the album of the year? Yeah, so let's just get into that, you know. We'll move forward. I don't know if you guys, did you guys do your Spotify Wrapped 2020, or do you guys not have Spotify? Or?
I did, yes.
I'm not a Spotify person, so I'm not familiar.
Apple Music does its similar thing too, right?
They do, but I just haven't received it yet.
Ah, all right, Danny.
Gotcha.
Who is your number one?
Anyone want to take a guess?
Well, if you're, I'm gonna say Taylor Swift.
It was Taylor, Foo Fighters, Eric Church, Van Halen, and Metallica. Also, nice. I just want to make a shout out here to Eddie for the year. You know, condolences. My hero that got me into music. So, thanks, Eddie. Anyway, I had to throw that out there since we're talking music. So
it's all good, man. And
rough year.
2020 takes a heavy toll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, R.I.P. to the legend.
Yes.
So let's go into album of the year, Mikey B. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. Well, before we get to album of the year, I got some EPs to some smaller albums to highlight a bit, and then I got some honorable mentions. So let's start off first with EPs that I enjoyed this year. The first one is from Incubus. They had Trust Fall Side B, which came out during the summer, and I think like Incubus has been trying to like evolve their sound for like the last like, I don't know, 10 years probably, and they haven't really came up with a song that really worked for them until this, I think this EP. This EP really sounds different than like classic Incubus records, but it's also bringing in new elements that sound good and sound genuine to what Incubus is. They still know like their bread and butter is like they have an amazing bass player and guitar player. So even though they're adding more like kind of more summery, electronic, like 80s, type pop vibes, they still know like the heart of the band is still guitar and bass. So Trust Fall EP is a good one if you want to give Incubus another try, because that album sounds completely different to anything that made them famous. The other EP that I liked this year was by Pup. They have an album called This Place Sucks Ass, and Pup is a punk rock, punk pop type band. So by the name of the title, you kind of definitely get the vibe and energy that they're going for. So if you're a fan of punk rock or punk pop, that is a good one to check out. All right, well, I have two runners up, two honorable mentions before we get to my album of the year. My first honorable mention is I don't know how, but they found me. and the album is called Razzmatazz. This is a band that is definitely trying to bring back those early aughts, like, electronic rock vibe of, like, The Bravery and Franz Ferdinand and The Killers and such. So if you're, but they also have, like, their own little, like, kind of modern twist to it. So if you're a fan of that, like, early, like, electronic rock pop sound, that is a good one for you. And the other honorable mention is called, the band's called The Heavy Eyes. The album is called Love Like Machines, and they are a band that really sounds like early Queens of the Stone Age, like before they became famous, before Rated R, kind of like dirty stoner rock. So if you're, so that would be, that's a good guess. That's a good album to listen to if you've been listening to a lot of Queens of the Stone Age and you want to listen to something else that doesn't sound like Queens of the Stone Age. I would definitely check out the album is called Love Like Machines, and the band is called The Heavy Eyes. And my album of the year is the same album I mentioned during the spring showcase, that are during our spring slash, you know, half year in review. And it is an album by Jesse Ware. It's called What's Your Pleasure? And it's a dance pop slash electro pop album. And it's, yeah, it's full of bangers and slaps. It's a great album. I think it's, yeah, it's pretty flawless to me. It's like 1 through 12. I'd have no skips. I'm looking forward to the first song, to the last song. I think it syncs quite well. It kind of starts off pretty heavy, and then it kind of goes, then it kind of goes down a little bit towards the end. So it's like a perfect example of going out on a night out. Like you're all like super high energy, but then like by 2 or 3 in the morning, you kind of have to chill down for a little bit. So it kind of has that similar vibe. And yeah, so that's definitely my album of the year. Jesse Ware, What's Your Pleasure is my album of the year. How about you guys? Which one do you want to start? Who wants to go for their albums, Josh or Danny?
Josh, you got this.
Okay, so I can't compete with that. I should have gone first, dude. No way. So Mikey B obviously starts off with a banger. So okay, so I got I will do 3 albums also. Let me just give a quick think. My top 3 albums of the year, they're all hip hop albums, because that's where my route. So, no particular order, I really liked, what's it called? Wow, I'm blanking out. So it was Lil Baby's My Turn, just because it brought back like the southern hip hop that like, it kind of faded away for a little bit, but then obviously Lil Baby's just, you know, in his own category of rap, and he was on fire this year, so I'll give him that. So the album was great, good features, you know, good from start to end, nice variety of music. Number 2 is gonna be, it is Only for Dolphins by Action Bronson. If you haven't heard that, it is a masterpiece of music in hip-hop. I love all the beats that were selected. Action Bronson is just a character in himself, and he's got bars for days. So I'll give it that. And I think my favorite album has to be RTJ4. That was a banger. That one, start to finish, it just gives you like a nice story. It feels good, and it's a nice, like, you know, progression from one to the end, and I don't have to hit skip. It doesn't have a lot of features, but, you know, Killer Mike and LP do their thing and keep the story going to the end. So there's a couple of, you know, I guess I have honorable mentions too. It's going to be Jay Electronica. He dropped an album at the beginning of the year. Childish Gambino. And Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist. That one's up for album of the year with Complex, I think, too, or the Academy or some shit. And the Alfredo albums, it's dope. So I'll give it those. So Danny, you wanna jump up next?
Sure. So I'm gonna backtrack for a second and give my honorable mention for a single I didn't get to say earlier, was Foo Fighters' Shame Shame. I really enjoyed just the direction they took on doing like a little bit of like almost borderline beatboxing in the background that they kind of lie under the put under the track, and just like a constant beat and very flat, and use kind of like the vocals and different areas of the song to create dynamics. I think it's like really cool and a different area for them. They're talking about going this next record being more of a dance record direction and not as much of like heavy Foo Fighters. So I thought it was interesting and kind of like they're at a place in their career where they can do that and experiment a little bit more. So I thought that was, you know, I don't think it's like amazing, but it's cool. And I like when, you know, artists that we love kind of try different things and get out of their comfort zone for a second.
They're going to swap drummers with that little girl, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. that kept me entertained for a while to see them go back and forth. Dude, she was killer. Did you see her do, she did it like, it's an Enter Sandman she did on like all bass, guitar, and drums.
She does it all. I followed her on Instagram right after I saw her video. Like on Dave's page. I was like, okay, she's dope. Gotta put it in.
She's legit, so.
Yeah.
Going back to, so like kind of like runner-up or honorable mentions for the album of the year and stuff like that. I'm gonna go back to one that I talked about back in the spring that Mikey B was referring to, and it was Green Day's Father of All that they released. And I've honestly fallen off like kind of the Green Day track since like middle school for a while, but this one came out and it's all like hard hitting. I liked it then, I still like it now, all hard hitting punk, under 3 minute songs. It's a quick record, easy listen, very raw, like the way it's recorded. So it's just kind of a little different off of what I've been listening to lately, and kind of gives you that mix of mainstream and kind of raw punk underground to kind of go back to their earlier roots a little bit. So kind of a nice feel. I like it, but I don't think it held up over the year as far as being the best. And then also just for like an EP, Eric Church released a string of 5 songs like since about April, I believe, that have kind of put together his own little mini EP for his, he's going to release a double album, I think, next year. Just all really great songs, have a lot of deep meaning to, and he kind of like backlashes a little bit at the country world as far as what country sings about and stuff like that. You know, not just sing about your Ford and the girl that ran away from you or, you know, left you alone. He has some real deep meaning to it, and also just putting together some great tracks and kind of define a little bit what country means. Just because you're from the South doesn't mean you have to sing about the same things and have the same kind of music and be the same kind of artist that everybody else wants to put you out as. So really respect him for that. And like just a couple that like good ones off of that was like Stick That in Your Country Song and Hell of a View. Just a couple of really good ones from two polar opposites, but good ones from that string of songs. All right, so on to the main event here. And I mean, about
drum roll.
So I have to go with it, and it's not even, I'm not even trying to be biased. I just couldn't stop listening to her. So I'm not even trying to. It just was on repeat. Taylor Swift's Folklore. Obviously, Mikey B and Josh know I'm a big fan, but she really nailed it with this one. And she took her storytelling that she knows how to do, and instead of talking about herself, she, you know, made stories about others. She put together like a really cool, you know, the idea is folklore and just telling tales of other people in this album. There's stories that weave in and out. There's 3 songs that actually connect to each other, talking about like a love triangle between 3 people, and like supposed to be based like years ago. And like, you gotta listen to it multiple times to kind of find the hidden clues. She hides Easter eggs in all of her songs in this album. She wrote it all remote with Aaron Dresner from The National, and I'm blanking on his name, from The Bleachers, but he's worked on other stuff with her. And they just did an awesome job, very subtle, very quiet, low moods, but just great lyrics. And really Brick kind of proves her songwriting ability and her staying ability. I think she's kind of at that breaking point where she had to figure out kind of where she was going to go next. And she didn't write one song for a pop hit for, you know, for a stadium or anything like that. She was very true about it, and it definitely showed. So hopefully, you know, I think people will maybe like see her for a little bit differently, and like not see her for like those pop hits that she puts out, and see her for those B-sides that she makes that like people don't get a chance to listen to.
That sounds like she kind of pulled like a John Mayer like a couple years ago, where, you know, John Mayer with Continuum was like super pop, and then he's like, I'm gonna switch it up, I'm gonna go Born and Raised in Paradise Valley, and I'm gonna turn it down a little bit and kind of hide away. When was her last album besides this one?
It was September of last year, of 2019.
Oh, so she dropped last year. I didn't know.
Yeah, so
I don't listen to a lot of Taylor Swift, so I don't know if she like waits like the Adele thing, where she waits like 4 years and drops an album, or like she's more consistent, I guess.
She used to be every 2 years in October, and then she waited 3 years for Reputation, and then that was her last one on that record label. And then once she went off on her own into a new label, now she just kind of do whatever she wants when she wants, and doesn't really have as many rules. So
she's breaking all the rules.
Breaking all the rules, but anyway, I highly recommend it, and hopefully maybe people can like it that don't normally get turned on to that kind of stuff. So definitely a new direction for her.
I'm gonna bust open the flannel, dude, and see what's up. Go outside.
go try it out.
Yeah, try it out.
just try it out.
So what do you guys think the chances are? We've got a couple weeks left into the year. You think there could be an album that comes out in the next 2 weeks that could change, disrupt everything? Or you think it's kind of like all set now? And because the Foo Fighters, they're supposed to drop this year too, right? Or they move it to next year?
They were going to drop in, well, they're supposed to drop in April, but now they moved it to February.
So kind of like just seeing if like there could be a chance, you know, you never know. I'm hopeful for it, but just because I feel like it's kind of stale at the moment, like, well, especially like in hip-hop personally, mm-hmm. like there hasn't been like a really good album. Like there's two albums that just came out that were pretty good, but not like contenders. It's like a 2 Chainz album and a Juicy J album, but like you give those a couple listens too, so just thought I'd, you know, ask you guys to see what you think. Maybe surprise albums, like a new Adele album or something that's gonna sweep the waters, you know?
You never know.
Yeah, you never know, but I don't think so. Not on my end. This Jesse Ware album came out like in June, and it's still been probably the half point of the year, and it's still my favorite album of the year. So I can't think of anything that could top this record so far.
He's gonna start listening to like some Bad Bunny dude and start listening to music in Spanish. Which that was one of the things in the Spotify thing, is like I listened to a lot of Spanish music, which came up, but definitely not enough to be like, this is like the album of the year. So
yeah, I mean it'd have to be like a real jammer. I mean it had to be like a, you know, a Wasting Light, or like a you know, it had to be a Led Zeppelin 4 level to
it's gotta turn it up to 12, dude, and just really, you know, take the title for album of the year.
Yeah, we gotta be talking like Eminem Show, you know, we gotta Marshall Mathers LP, something like that. That's gotta beat it out for me.
Which is it's funny that you bring that up, because Nas also dropped an album this year, King's Disease.
I saw that. Yes.
Which, you know, Nas is great. Great lyricist. Will Go Down is one of like the greatest to ever do it. But I don't think that album was like album of the year caliber. So
yeah, it didn't. I got one and like and a half partial listens. Whatever. I kind of scattered through the next listen. It didn't really like draw me back that much. I don't know if it wasn't just, you know, sometimes you're just like not in the right mood. And like go yeah. back to that album like 3 months later, and it'll grab you for some reason.
I'm sure like next year, like you probably like listen to it, or even like Logic's album too, like
mm-hmm.
listen to it like next year and be like, this was like ahead of its time or something. That was a good album
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I think timing on how and when people release, like depending on like time, like seasons, like what's going on in the world, what you know, where people are at in their lives, like how people release albums. I mean, there's so much to do with it. It's kind of crazy.
Definitely. Mikey B, you got anything else, man?
I have, two more things. One, another shout out to a guy who's really trying to expand his sound, Mike Chinoda, the guy, Linkin Park, the guitarist, Cole vocalist. So this is a Danny selection. He got me onto this. This year, he dropped 3 albums, one called Drop Frames. And it's really cool, kind of like video gamey, sci-fi, hip-hoppy, trip-hoppy type of like jazzy type like instrumental music. That kind of, it's good music to listen to if you're like, if you write or you're in the creative spirit, you're in the creative space. It's kind of good music to have on. It's a nice
You said he dropped three albums?
Yeah, three musical, like, instrumental albums that kind of mix hip-hop and video games and electronic music and, like, a whole bunch of other things. It's like a swirl of musical sounds. It's really interesting.
It's kind of cool. I feel like it's like the heart of, like, what Linkin Park is, but, like, totally, like, just Shinoda, you know, did what he wanted with it. There's nobody else's influence in it, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, like you said, it's like very definitely good for a creative space. Like I listen to the, those sometimes when I'm working or whatnot. It's kind of cool.
Wow, yeah, I just saw those right now. Which Hybrid Theory also turned what 20 this year? Which
yes, is it crazy did. To
think about. Yeah,
that's tight.
That's quite true. I think my final question for the pod before we go to, before we wrap this up is what's your 2021 musical? Goals or highlights or things you're trying to looking forward to in the music world 2021?
Live music.
Very good.
True.
All right, that was a quick question and a good way to wrap up this. Unless you guys have anything else to add, yeah, but live music, I think, is most music fans' answer is live music, I would say.
What I would love, and I don't know if maybe I'm not looking in the right places, it's kind of like a new sound, kind of like the Roots, like a newer Roots, where it's like hip-hop, and like it's got the whole band with them. And
it's like a live band element to it.
Yeah, I really like the Roots, and I no disrespect to the Roots, but I wonder if there's like other avenues you can take it. You know what I mean? So, because I know like Machine Gun Kelly dropped an album this year too, which was kind of his like punk, you know, emo thing, and there's way you can do it, you know, but you got to find like the right blend of music and artists to kind of put that together. So I would love to see that.
Shout out to Travis Barker, the hardest working drummer in the game. This dude is everywhere.
True.
Yeah. Dude, I think he's sampled with like everybody. I feel like he's on like everybody's track.
I would also love to see super groups come back.
That'd
like,
be cool.
That would be dope. Like them Crooked Vultures and like.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, just like a new group. Or maybe like a new Mars Volta, but that's just me though.
Well, like you want to see like artists like you know, for example, like them Crooked Vultures. Like I love, you know, Josh Homme's like voice and his style with that. But then like having Dave on drums is like a totally different. You know, get Dave off guitar and off singing and put him behind a kit, and like work with Josh Homme, and it's like it's so cool. It's you know you like hearing your favorite artist play, but put him in a different arena basically.
That or a new Alabama Shakes album.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Cool.
That'd be tight.
I think she released a solo album this year, Brittany Howard.
I think so
she's going like, yeah, the solo route until, but yeah, it'd be cool if she gets back with the band and produces another record.
I think that's what I would like to see in 2021, just those three. Or maybe like a new John Mayer album, but that's it.
What direction do you want John Mayer you want to go? Like you want like country John Mayer, kind of R&B John Mayer? Kind of like college rock, you know, like early John Mayer, like My Body is a Wonderland type John Mayer. He's this dude has evolved a lot since he came onto the scene.
Oh man, it's crazy because like the country John Mayer kind of it sits well with me now as it grew. Like when it first came out, like I was kind of, you know, I loved Continuum and, you know, that was what I was expecting, and then he kind of like betrayed me. I was like, how could you do that, man? That's not what I was looking for. But then like I heard him play some of the songs live, and it just kind of like made me revisit and enjoy them a little more. But you know, college early days John Mayer would be cool. Like if he did like his As Is, I don't know if you know any about that, but like that would be cool if he did that. I would love that. But I don't mind the newer stuff, but I think, yeah, I would love the early days and see how it goes. Just because he's got, like, a new, like, outlook on life. As everybody does as they get older, you know what I mean? Like, your body is a wonderland. It just could be something different in 2021. So who knows?
Alrighty. That's been the episode of... This has been an episode of the Gaming Console. This has been the Music of the Year episode. I was joined by Danny Wise. Any final words, Danny?
No, thanks for having me.
Very good. As always, I've been joined by my partner in crime, Josh Rentes.
Yo.
Yo. And I'm Mikey B. This has been an episode. See ya.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Console Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Console Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Console Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Console Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related, episode-wise, go to gamingconsolepod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.